So today we're doing things a bit different, as I'll be interviewing Kelly Kells on her return to ballet.
Interviewing me?
Yeah, but that's okay. What's up. That's what we're doing today.
I feel so special.
You are? You are. So in this episode, we'll dive into a journey of resilience, rediscovery, and the transformative power of dance as she returns to the stage. We'll be diving into the challenges she faced in returning to her craft, the emotional and physical preparations involved.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot of emotional
I can imagine. And we'll also just chat about how her perspective on ballet has evolved. Whether you're a dancer, a lover of the arts, or simply seeking inspiration, this episode is sure to resonate.
Sure, are you sure?
I'm very confident.
So much pressure.
I am very confident. I'm very confident. So, Kells, we are going to hit the road running.
Let's go.
What inspired you to return to dancing?
Okay, so I never really left.
Okay.
So I started when I was like 4 years old, and then I danced up until I was 18. When I left school, I went to the dance company.
Sure.
When I came back from the dance company, I went to university and I joined the cheerleading team.
Okay.
And then I also did quite a bit, like, I did a lot with the arts and culture department at university. So every time there was a show, I'd be involved to dance. Mm-hmm. And we actually took a show to Grahamstown Festival as well. And we had a show run at the barn at the Opera House.
Okay.
Yeah. Then 2019, a friend of mine, we got together and we were like, okay, we are going to do dance festival this year. So we did dance festival, did quite well, enjoyed it. That was when I was in the actual working world. And then in 2020, I was going to do Cinderella, the youth ballet.
Okay.
And then I got a soloist role, was super excited to do it. It was the first time I'm going to do a full-length ballet in a while. And then COVID hit. And that's kind of where I fell off. So After that, I kind of went to ballet and I was just like doing classes here and there. But it wasn't that deep, you know. It wasn't that serious. It was like, okay, am I going to go today? Do I have a list today?
Sure.
Like, yeah. And then at the beginning of this year, my friend who owns the dance school, she was like, I really want to do a ballet, a full-length ballet with the school. And it's also like our kids are from the underprivileged area, so they are not often exposed to a theater experience.
Sure.
And I think that's also something that she really wanted to do. So she said she wants to do this full-length ballet. She wants me to be in the ballet. We're doing Sleeping Beauty, and that's how I ended up
That's why we are here. Yeah. That's why you are here. Kells, I want to know then, you say that after 2020, you were kind of there, but not there.
Yeah.
You'd go to practice if you want.
Yeah.
So now that you are back in full force,
yeah,
what physical and mental preparations have you had to undergo?
Oh, a lot, eh?
Can imagine.
So it was tough for me mentally because there's so much more that I have on my plate now than I had before. And physically, because I'm much older and I've had a baby.
Much older.
No, I mean, when I say much older, I mean, I'm not 16 years old anymore. I'm not 19 years
old anymore.
Kelly,
you're making me feel like I'm 50.
No, that's not what I mean. Aging in dance and aging in real life is not the same.
Sure.
So you can't retire at 60 as a professional dancer, you know? Like, you hitting max 40 if you're lucky.
Sure.
So my body is not what it used to be when I was 19 years old, when I was in the company. And I had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the year when I went back to ballet, my son was not even 6 months old yet. So there was so much physical preparation that I have to get into because I had to lose the mom weight. I needed to not only just lose the weight, but I needed to train my body to be that physical again. So I went to classes and I also just felt like, you know what? This used to work for you in the past. Just going to ballet, you'd get strong, you'd get fit, you'd get flexible. it's not working for you anymore. You have to do something more if you're going to be ready for this ballet.
Sure.
So I joined the gym with a trainer. And I've never been a gym girl, yeah. I was been like, oh, it's fine. I'll just do a yoga YouTube video at home, or I'll just...
Sure.
I'll just maybe go to ballet today if I want to. I've always been that person.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, make those physical changes to, like, get moving better, to get stronger.
And how's that going?
It's going well, actually.
Good.
I'm a gym girlie now.
Look at you, fitness bunny.
Thank you. No, I'm really enjoying it. So I had to get a trainer because if I just signed up for the gym, like, and then I went, I wasn't going to know what to do, you know, because I've never been a gym girlie. Mm. I can watch a YouTube video and then be like, oh, she's doing this. Mm. But then I'm not even doing it properly and then it's not working for me, you know. So I decided, no, let me get the trainer because I know I need to do things properly for it to work properly. So I got the trainer and it's actually been motivating as well to have a trainer because she pushes you. If there's not someone there that's pushing me, I'm the type of person that you need to like be sitting on me to get through it. If I'm doing it on my own, then I'm going to be like, oh, maybe I'll just do 10 instead of 15, you know?
I'll do the other 5 tomorrow.
So it's been really good to have the trainer. It's actually been quite nice to be in the gym. It gives me... Like, you know, they say you have to be physical to feel better. And it's actually been working for me.
That's awesome, man. Kels, so you mentioned that you have a baby.
Yes.
He's one now. Tell me, how do you balance your passion of ballet, personal life, and you still work full time? How do you balance that? I can imagine.
It's really rough, and I don't feel like I'm coping very well at the moment. In fact, for the whole year, because I've been super super busy. I come to work, I have the baby, I've got rehearsals, and now it's getting worse because we are at crunch time for the ballet. So I've been at ballet every single day this week, and I get home at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So it's been quite hectic. And I actually don't know how I'm balancing it all. If I'm being completely honest with you, I think the only reason I'm coping right now is because I've got such a good support system.
Sure.
Like they say, oh, it takes a village. But like, and it's not a cliche. It really does. I wouldn't be able to what I'm doing right now if I didn't have the support of my family.
So true, Kels.
Yeah. Balancing everything is really, really tough, but you have to do what you have to do. Like, I have to plan things and I have to make space for things to change all the time because things can always come up. It's been quite hectic and recent weeks and the weeks coming, it's just going to get worse and worse. I know that.
But I have to say, you look good.
Thank you.
You look really good. And I think
that's the
good
thing. Like, people think that I'm coping so well. And they're like, oh, she's doing so good.
Because you're shining, man. You're shining.
Thank you. No, but it's like... There's so much preparation and stuff that's behind the scenes that people don't see. And I don't want to complain to people all the time because this is the life I chose, you know? I'm going to complain to my mom. Yep. I'm going to complain to my husband.
Since coming back, like full time now, you are there, you are pushing it. How has your perspective changed of dance?
Okay, so I've always had this love and passion for it. But... I went to the company and I saw the professional dancers there and I was there every single day. So I was pushing myself, but I didn't have everything that I have now. So I kind of have this new respect for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, because I'm now in a principal role, I have a lot more respect for the principal dancers that I saw when I was in the company. Because there's so much strain that gets put on you. Like there's a lot because... You are pushing your body to do things that are not normal. So I have this like newfound respect for them. And I have also a newfound respect for myself and for my fellow dancers.
Yeah.
Because this is not just learning two dances and a group dance to do at festival. A full-length ballet in a principal role is a different thing.
What has been the most rewarding part of it all?
So we're doing this ballet in honor of our ballet teacher that passed away.
Aww.
So I think that that is, I think, the fact that we are doing this for her, but also the fact that we're doing it for our community of kids. As I said earlier, our kids are not, some of our kids don't have ballet shoes. Sure. We are the only ballet school in the northern areas. And so it's rewarding for us to see these girls are working hard. These kids are going to be exposed to this grand theater experience.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. It's really nice to be able to expose them to it. And I think for me personally, I went to the dance company, and as a little girl, it was always my dream to be a professional dancer. And when I went to the company, I realized that it's actually just not for me. But through doing Sleeping Beauty and doing the principal role and doing a full-length ballet with my dance school, I'm kind of getting to fulfill that dream in a different way. It is quite rewarding. It's tough, but it's like you're doing it for this greater purpose.
Ah, so touched. I'm so touched. Tell me, what advice would you give to not just somebody, but a young mom who wants to go back, do what they're passionate about, but there's all these other things that she needs to take responsibility for? What would you say?
Just do it. We as moms give so much of ourselves to other people, and sometimes we forget about ourselves. Sure. We sometimes forget about our own passions because we are doing so much for everyone else. And doing something that you are passionate about is going to fuel you again. It gives you like this vuma. So you have to do something that you're passionate about. You have to do something for yourself. And it needs to be rewarding for you as well. Like, it's not, oh, I'm going to go to the shop now and quickly go buy myself a nice coffee. I'm going to go buy myself a nice new dress. That's not, yes, it's a nice reward nice for feeling. Yourself, but it's not something that you're passionate about. It's like a quick fix, you know? So you need to do something that you're passionate about because it needs to give you fuel again. And I'm not saying that, like, for me, I'm in rehearsals all the time because of this, but you don't have to do something that you're passionate about every single day for it to fuel you. We've got a lot of priorities, and obviously we have to prioritize certain things.
Yeah.
Our children are obviously number one. Our families, number one, and your passions kind of take a back seat for those things. Sometimes we can't do it all the time. So make time for it at some point. So even if you're not doing it every day, every week, maybe once a month even, just so that you get that this is for me. Yes. I want to do this for myself feeling, you know.
Do something that sets your soul on fire.
I was speaking to a friend of mine, and she was also a ballet dancer, and she also is a mom. And her son was actually born 3 weeks before my son. And she was saying to me the other day, can I come back next year? And she wasn't even from our dance school, but she was like, can I come join you guys? I really want to come back. She can see how that it's affected me. And I think that's why she also wants to come back and be active and feel her passion again. Yeah. But what I will say is, sometimes because of our priorities, we can't do everything that we want to do, which is, I mean, for everyone. So sometimes the things that we are passionate about, if we've got more than one thing that we're doing. For me, at the moment, what's taking a backseat is my content creation. Okay. I don't have the time to do the content creation and push out content consistently like I want to, because I don't have the time for it. Because I'm prioritizing time with my family and rehearsals and work, I don't really get the time to do that like I did before. And it also puts this other pressure on you, put pressure on yourself, because you're like, this is something I really want to be doing. This is also like an outlet for me, where I'm like, oh, I love what I've done here. I posted the other day, I'm like really in my ballerina era, because I've just been posting ballet things. I don't post the other content that I usually post, because that content has had to take a backseat at the moment. But there'll be time for that again.
Because now we're at the ballet now.
Yes. Everything you see from me right now, it's ballet, ballet, ballet. And Luca and my child, that's it.
So tell me, what role does emotional expression play in dance?
A huge role. And actually say that emotional expression is more important than physical expression in advance, because you have to be able to touch the heart of the audience. It's one thing to get your legs so high that your legs touching your ear, or you're jumping so high, but that is not going to touch someone's heart. They're going to be like, oh, this is flashy. But you need to touch someone's heart in order to really resonate with them.
Sure.
You also need to get a message across to people. Mm. Like, we are doing a love story, essentially. So if we're just dancing with each other and there's no emotion in our dance, you're not going to feel like this is a love story that you're watching. Yes. So those emotions that the characters are feeling need to also be translated for the audience to feel the same feelings. There was this dancer. She was the principal dancer, and she was an absolutely beautiful dancer. She was the type of dancer that you don't want to look away. And she wasn't the type of dancer who had her legs so high. Mm. And she wasn't the flashy dancer, but she obviously had the high legs and she could jump and whatever, but she got that like with training. And I wouldn't say that her leg was as high as one of the other dancers, or she jumped as high as one of the other dancers, but the way she expressed herself on stage and the way she immersed the audience into the performance was insane. I used to watch her in awe. And I still think about it this day. And I'm like, she's such a beautiful dancer. Wow. You don't want to look away. And it's not because her physical dancing is amazing. While it is, the way that she does her emotional expression.
So she captures you.
Yes.
Wow. So.
Yes.
Tell us. You've been speaking about Sleeping Beauty here, Sleeping Beauty there, being a principal here, being a principal there. What is happening? What is happening, Kels?
We're having a ballet. That's been our line for like the whole year. So we are Toy and Be Dance Academy.
Okay.
Yes. And we are hosting Sleeping Beauty from the 17th to the 19th of December. It's going to be at the Feather Market Center. Tickets are on sale. They are available at Quicket. And starting at $200 and R350 for the VIP seats.
Okay.
VIP seats do include refreshments. We are excited. I am in the role of Princess Aurora, but also in the role of the Lilac Fairy.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to it.
I love a good love story.
Oh.
Do you have a place for me there?
Oh, no, definitely. Please come. You need
on stage.
Oh, you haven't been in rehearsals, Annalisa.
Can I start?
No, it's too late.
You supported me in being an Olympic swimmer, Kelly.
I can support some of your passions, not all of them.
So on the 17th to the 19th of December, we are doing Sleeping Beauty. Yes.
So 5 shows, 2 afternoon shows, 3 evening shows. I expect to see you front row.
I'll be there. VIP.
Yes, girl.
Do not expect anything less.
I didn't expect anything less.
I will definitely be there. You will see me. That's all we have for you today. Just want to know more? Tune in again next week. But until then, stay inspired.
And stay motivated.
Bye, Kelly Kels.
Goodbye, Annie.